Well, today in my sermon, I'm going to be talking to you about our blessings that God gives us. We call that stewardship. Can you say that word with me? Stewardship. One more time. Let's ask the congregation for help. Stewardship. So do you know what stewardship is? Yeah, it's a big word, I'll admit. Stewardship, we just break it apart, is just a steward. We think about how God has made us a steward or a manager of all of our blessings. Everything we have doesn't belong to us, it belongs to God, right? Those clothes that you wear, the bed that you slept in last night, the car that you drove over here, it's all God's. And God so generously shares with us everything that we have, right? Best of all, he shares his son Jesus with us. But to help you understand what it means when God gives us our blessings, he wants us to share them with others and to give back to him. So to help you understand that, I'm not going to give you coffee today, but I do have something in a coffee cup. I'm giving you a shiny nickel. I know, lots, right? Here we go. Here you go. It's yours. Got one for you. All right. Yeah. Here we go. Yeah. All right. Okay. Is that nice and shiny? Yeah, yeah, definitely. Okay, now I have a question for you. Whose money is this? Whose money is it? Oh, you know? It's God's money. Hey, you were listening. I thought you were going to say, it's my money, right? We make that mistake all the time. See, even the money that we have, even the monies that your moms and dads and grandpas have, that's not their money, it's all God's money, right? And by the way, it's not even my money. When I went to Quick Trip last night and got a couple of rolls of nickels, they kind of looked at me a little strange and I said, it's okay, it's for the Lord. And anyway, and it's not my money or St. Paul's money. I'm the one who took it out of my billfold, but this is really God's money. But now we've entrusted it to you. So what do you think we should do with our money? Should we run down to Quick Trip and blow it all on candy? Does that sound like a good idea? No. What do you think we should do with God's money? What should we do? Anybody know? I think I heard it. I think someone said, give it to God, right? Well, how can we give it to God? See those boxes on the way out of church? Those are called offering boxes. Your moms and dads probably use those to give their money to the Lord. Probably it's not in coins. It's probably they wrote out a check or they gave different bills. Because when you're younger, you don't have much. And so we don't have much to give. But when you're older like me, you have more to give. And you know what? It's a joy to give, because we don't give because we have to. We give because we want to. We remember what God did for us, and God was rich towards us. He gave us his best. What's the best thing God ever gave you besides mom and dad? I know that's the best, but what's the best thing God ever gave you? God gave you Jesus, didn't he? He sent his son Jesus to die on the cross, and that's what it means that God is rich towards us. He gave us Jesus to die on the cross so that we didn't have to pay for our sins of wanting to hold on to our possessions like we're selfish. And instead, now, Jesus helps us be generous, but only when we remember it's Jesus' money. Hey, one more thing. You think we should give that money back to Jesus? Do you think we should do that? Is that a good idea? Yeah, I can see some nodding heads. Well, you know what? You'll never see more joy when you see a child give. See, children get it. They get that it's God's money, and now we just want to give back to him. And when you see kids putting money in the box, they get so excited. But you know what, kids? You teach us, adults, what it means to have joy. Thank you for helping us do that. Let's pray and ask God to help us be generous. Dear God, you are so good and generous with us. Help us give to you our possessions because they're really yours. Help us give the best of our possessions and give regularly, intentionally. Lord, forgive us those times we've been selfish and change us by your Spirit. And help us now live with joy. In your name we pray, amen. May God's riches in Christ be with you now and always, amen. The word of God for this stewardship sermon is recorded for us in the New Testament book of Philippians, a letter of joy, as we hear from Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 14. Paul writes, "Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. I have received full payment and have more than enough. I'm amply supplied now that I've received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." We pray. Lord Jesus, sanctify us by your truth. Your inspired word is truth. Amen. You may be seated. Dear fellow believers in Christ, what are difficult or even uncomfortable subjects that you hear in church? Maybe it's a sermon on human sexuality or the roles of men and women. Quite honestly, those are topics that angels, fools, and yes, even church leaders and pastors fear to tread. But don't worry, we'll save those topics for another time. Instead, we'll tackle maybe a subject that's even more uncomfortable: giving in the church. What is truth is that this sermon is about Christian stewardship. I already explained to the children, you know what a steward is. It's simply a manager of all of God's blessings. And God has given us so much, hasn't he? He's given us our time, our talents, and our treasures. Really, nothing we have really belongs to us. It all belongs to God. Where do I get that idea? From the Bible. The Bible says in Psalm 24, verse 1, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it." And God generously supplies everything we could possibly need. But now, God calls you and me to be stewards, or good stewards, or managers of everything we have, to carefully take care of them, but also be willing to share, not only with other people, but especially give back to God. Why? Because we came into this world with nothing, and we're going to leave with nothing. Yes, God wants us to be good stewards of all that we have. And stewardship is more than just money. It's about our gifts, how we use our time, because really, every day, we serve God with them and bring him the glory. But that's a difficult and uncomfortable subject to talk about. And why is that? Because we often like to think of it as our money, our wallets and purses, our savings accounts, our retirement funds, yes, our dollars and cents. Let me be clear. St. Paul's is not just about giving money. We're about sharing the good news, the gospel message that Jesus Christ has saved us from our sins. And you know, if you've been here very long, about how we passionately and urgently want to share that message with every man, woman, and child. Each week, we come to church and school to hear God's message of law, about how our selfishness and our sins has separated us from God forever. But we also are here to hear the beautiful gospel that tells us that Jesus has made up for all of my selfishness and yours, and he has given his life on the cross and saved us, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and his innocent sufferings and death. The good news is that this gospel message is free, but it does cost to share it. There's a real cost that takes money to pay for the lights to stay on, for the parking lot to be plowed when we came to church, for the furnaces to be in good working order. There's a cost to pay our teachers, staff minister, our pastors, all of our staff that we have here. It costs to train all of those called workers with schools, like our Christian day schools, our high schools, Martin Luther College, Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary. It costs real money to be able to send missionaries around the world to places where we can't go. Well, why should we talk about money? Because we all need reminders. We need reminders because Jesus wasn't ashamed or apologized to talk about money. Do you know in the Bible, Jesus talked more about money than any other subject? Any idea why? Because he knew that if we didn't control our possessions would control us. We brought nothing into this world, and we won't carry anything out of this world. Martin Luther, the founder of the Lutheran Church, had this to say about money. He said one time in a sermon, there are three conversions of the Christian: the conversion of the heart, the mind, and the purse. And of the three, it may well be that we moderns find the conversion of the purse the most difficult. It's been 500 years since the time of Luther, and yet I love how he still says, we moderns. But since only God can convert the heart, you can't, I can't either. Let's turn to God's word for strength and for our motivation. As we conclude our St. Paul Stewardship series, you probably noticed once a month for the past 4 months, we've been talking about Christian stewardship, and today we're talking about joyful generosity. Today we're going to be taking a closer look at the book of Philippians chapter 4, and we'll hear, when we give back to God in our offerings regularly and intentionally, it's a real blessing for God's church, but it's also a real blessing for everyone who gives. By now, I think you've realized that your St. Paul pastors haven't told you exactly how much to give in your church offerings. And believe me, I'm not going to start now. It's amazing in the New Testament how God makes every single gift voluntary. That doesn't make it easy, does it? What I mean to say is, in the Old Testament, God did make it easy for his Old Testament chosen people. He told them exactly how much to give. There was no drama. He told them they were to give 10% of all of their income back to God. In other words, if they had 10 sheep, one of them went to the Lord. If they had 100 sheep, 10 went to the Lord. Easy peasy, right? They didn't even have to think about it. So why didn't God make it easy for us? It's because in love, God trusts us. You and I are God's chosen people. We're blessed with faith and baptism. It's not easy for me either. I would love to say that every St. Paul's check I get, I give it all back to God in my church offerings. I'd like to do that too. But like you, I have taxes to pay. I need to take care of my family, and you do too. So why didn't God demand 10% from us? Well, the reason is, God knows that when we take time to count every single blessing that we have, if we really struggle in how much we want to give God, and if we regularly pray about it, God gets more than our money. He actually gets our hearts in joyful thanksgiving, and it's a privilege to give to God. I love giving to the Lord in my church offerings, and I pray you do too. Well, one of the reasons that the Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the Christian church in Philippi was a thank you note of sorts. He wanted to thank them for supporting his ministry, thank them directly for supporting his gospel ministry. But you know, you can't help but compare the congregations in Greece. Philippi, well, they were the poor ones, and they lived in the north of Greece.
Corinth, they were the rich congregation. They were in the south. And what a contrast. The Philippians, we learn the surprising truth, gave money, more than they were able. We're told that they even begged for the opportunity to give. I have to be honest, I've only been here 2 years, but no one has ever come up to me and said, "Pastor, could I please, please give to God here?" That hasn't happened yet, but it did back in Philippi. We're told that they gave beyond what they could. The Corinthians? Oh, they said they were going to give an offering, but they just never got around to it. What was the difference? Well, it seems like the Corinthians had good intentions, but the Philippians were intentional. What I mean to say is that the Corinthians were excited to give, but since they never really had a plan, they never sat down, decided what to give, and got it done. Has that ever happened to us? Take, for example, our reading of the Bible, our personal Bible reading, not only here at church, but are you aware that God actually wants us to take His Word home and read it during the week? So how is that going? It's the most important thing we can do to get strength, forgiveness, and peace for anxiety and depression. We need God's Word every single week. But do you have a plan? If you think about it, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. And have you ever had a plan, but even let it go by the wayside because there were just so many distractions? It's not easy to have a good plan and the discipline to carry it out. Why? We got to remember what we're facing. We're facing our sinful flesh that constantly wants to be selfish and think of it as our time. And we have other things to do besides reading the Bible, serving God, and giving of our church offerings, because we think it's all about us. We have the devil who's constantly trying to distract us, disrupt us, and divide us. Yes, my friends, we need to remember all of that, but the same is true of our joyful generosity. Do we have a plan of how much we want to give to the Lord? Have we ever actually written it down? Have we ever set aside 10% as a model of what to give? Have we ever set aside the best part of our income first before paying our bills, instead of just giving God what's left over? When I hear a list of those spiritual directives, I pray that you join me in saying to God, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." How thankful we are that God never treats us as our sins deserve. Where we've been stingy, God has been generous. Where we have been inconsistent and careless, God has been faithful and He's been regular. Jesus made up for all of my sins of selfishness and all of yours. But Jesus doesn't stop there. Instead, His mercies are new every morning, and God's care to us is regular and intentional, and that's why we can trust in Him. We can even trust God to give our church offerings, to give more than the minimum. We don't have to give, we get to give. And we also need to remember it's a real privilege when we give church offerings. God actually involves us in valuable ministry. I mean, when we give like the Philippians did, willingly and generously, we get so much more back, and God's church is so blessed. We actually get to do more mission work. More children get to hear about Jesus. It's a real blessing. Those are the principles that Paul was talking about. Listen in the opening words of our reading. "Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need." Want more joyful generosity? Don't be guilted into giving. Give because you remember, like the Philippians did, everything that God gave them. Give regularly and intentionally. It's a blessing for God's church, but it's also a blessing for each giver. That's what Paul was talking about in the final words of our reading. He says, not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. I have received full payment and have more than enough. I'm amply satisfied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. So let's ask a good Lutheran question. What does all of this mean? It means when you and I are generous, when we're intentional and regular in our church offering, not only is God blessed, we're blessed because we give as a sacrifice to God. In the Old Testament, they brought animals as sacrifices. Today, we give our gifts of money, our time, and our talents. Why? We just want to say thank you to God. And when we give to God as a sacrifice, not to earn God's favor, not for looking for anything in return, every giver is blessed. Well, look at it this way. Let's say there's a grandma who wants to go all out for her grandchildren. Know anybody like that? And this grandma wants to give everything she has because she loves her grandchildren. And so she does that. About a week or two later, grandma gets a thank you note in the mail. What's the purpose of a thank you note? Well, like Paul was writing, he wanted to say thanks. He appreciated what was given. And included in those heartfelt thanks are maybe stick figure drawings, maybe scrawled words that sometimes are even misspelled. But what does grandma do? She takes those heartfelt expressions of gratefulness and puts them on her refrigerator or some other prominent place so that when the kids come over, the kids can see for themselves how much grandma appreciates them. My point is this: the giving that we give God is noticed by God himself. Every dollar we put in those wooden boxes, every check that we write, every gift that we write online, every single one is noticed and appreciated. I don't know if God has a refrigerator in heaven, but I do know that God puts all of our expressions of thanks, and he's so proud of them. That's why the Bible teaches us it's more blessed to give than to receive. If we have that picture in our heads of how much God loves our sacrifices, it makes it a whole lot easier to give. But you know what also makes it easier to give? When we think about our giving, don't think so much about your giving to St. Paul's, our church or our school. Think about it more, giving to Jesus. Because when we remember the great love of Jesus, I promise you it's a whole lot easier to give. Thank you for joining me in joyful generosity as we give to Jesus regularly and intentionally. Martin Luther had this to say about church offerings. He says, a religion that gives nothing, costs nothing, and suffers nothing is worth nothing. With Jesus first and foremost in our minds, we don't ever need to be worried about a sermon on giving or any other church topic. And in Christ alone, we can find joyful generosity. Amen. And we invite you to view another edition of Faces of Jesus.
Hi, I'm Mark Poston, a member of St. Paul's. Can you think of any times in the Bible that tell us that Jesus had money or gave it away? In the Gospel of Luke, we're told that there were women, probably among others, who supported Jesus and his disciples with money. In Matthew 17, Jesus enables Peter to catch a fish with a coin in his mouth to pay Peter's and Jesus' temple tax. Several chapters later, Jesus pointed to a Roman coin belonging to a Jewish leader to teach about paying taxes. But we never hear about Jesus personally having or giving away money. Yet Jesus was generous. Think about his love. Consider the compassion and care he showed. Remember the help and healing he gave with his miracles. Don't forget the forgiveness he promised, the peace he provided, and the hope he instilled in people. Most of all, he gave himself to suffer and die for the sins of the world. There is no one more generous than Jesus. His generosity lives on today. He gives you life. By His Spirit, He gives you faith. Through faith, Jesus gives you forgiveness, His holiness, purpose for life, power to live for Him, and the sure hope of heaven. Jesus sends His angels to watch over you. He provides everything you need. Today, there is still no one more generous than Jesus. Now, as His face in this world, Jesus wants you to be the same, generous. He wants you to be generous with your love, your forgiveness, your patience, your kindness, your help, your charity, and with your offerings given out of love and thanks for Jesus because of His great love for you. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. Proverbs 11:25.